I've got a question for all of you here. How many of you have used your SkillsFuture to take AI courses? Raise your hand. Okay, a few there. Jonathan, what did you sign up for and why?
I took a specialist diploma in AI and data science, largely because in my role, I mostly delegate that work out to my developers. So I wanted to get more robust and get more into it. So okay. It's helped me become a better manager.
So besides a few of you, the rest all didn't sign up for anything. Is that right? Shrusti, can you tell me why not?
I did another SkillsFuture course.
Oh! You decided to dedicate the time to something else.
Yes.
But you didn't think AI was an important area to focus on?
Not last year, but maybe this year I will.
Okay. Crystal?
Well, personally, I'm too busy building out our AI company, so...
Let me ask if the minister, what about yourself, Min? Have you done any SkillsFuture courses specifically on AI?
No, I have not had the time to do any SkillsFuture courses, but if I had the opportunity, right? There are two aspects I would really like to look at.
Yeah.
One is how you can do more of the analysis for work, and the other is design. So if I ever have the opportunity and the time, that's something I'd like to look into.
Okay, I hope that you can do it.
I hope so too.
Well, in fact, let me bring back Shrusti again, because you are, you know, the founder of an art, technology and media company, and you want to build a new ecosystem for financing and developing creative projects with technology, right? What is your question?
Yeah, Minister, you've referred to AI as a tool today, and so has the Prime Minister. I want to draw on AI journalist Karen Howe, who likens AI as to saying transportation, for example, in that it is a ecosystem of many tools as opposed to one individual technology. So my question is this: are there efforts to facilitate dialogue and public discourse about what AI is to begin with, so that people can have conversations, build trust amongst themselves with these tools, and then eventual adoption? That's my question.
There's, in fact, a whole lot of discourse going around. Not all of it has to be from government. And that's what budget does. By putting AI as a significant part of our budget and saying that we are deploying a good portion of our national finances to that, it immediately generates discussion across the board. Some discussion will be with government side, of course, but a lot of it will be happening in the universities for those who are teaching. Others will happen in conferences, in podcasts. So what this budget has done with its emphasis on AI is actually to catalyse an entire national and possibly international conversation about AI in Singapore, because I'm fairly sure that international companies and other people who want to work in AI development will now look at Singapore and say, okay, they have deployed a portion of their budget to really make a push on this. This looks like the AI place to be. Let's come and see whether we can set up here and work with others. And so basically we want to generate discussions across the board with everyone.
Minister, employees are stressed out at work all the time, and with the new budget direction, there is a lot of support for courses.
Yes.
What kind of support will the government give for experimentation on the job training, the things that actually impact real workflows and make employees feel more productive?
Great question. There are two kinds of initiatives. One is where you assist the employee directly through the SkillsFuture courses, because SkillsFuture is really intended to enable them to upskill, learn new things, and also possibly to transfer to other sectors or areas. But another key part of it is putting in money to help the companies to train and upskill their workers. So the company training centres, for example. Then you have the conversion programmes. So it has to. It's like twin engines, you know. You have to help the individual and put money in there for that. But the other thing is you've got to encourage the companies to, A, train their own employees, and some companies, because they've developed the expertise and so on, can become training centres for others.
Thank you, Minister.
Okay, so against the overall backdrop of Budget 2026, so far we've been looking at transformation. And now let's turn our attention to transfers. Steve, we have some questions from our guests.
Yeah, that's right. I have Crystal here. You have a master's in AI from Oxford. You started your own AI company, which has grown to about 35 people in under a year. What is your question?
Hi, Minister. So I believe that AI is no longer just about artificial intelligence, but about abundance, right? And I think that is clearly seen from the budget. So my question is, how do we actually translate this abundance to help people manage costs and not just about convenience in their lives?
When you say manage costs, could you just elaborate a little bit about what you mean
like
by
cost
that?
Cost of living, transport, even different industries. I mean, I want to keep it as broad as possible because it's not about convenience, right, but about trying to help them save money, for example.
Cost of living.
There are, again, two parts to this. To the extent that AI can enable us to be more productive, generate more revenue, that means that there is more that the country has at its disposal to share around and to spread around. We refer to those as social transfers. So obviously we do a lot already. We subsidise housing, subsidise education, childcare, families. And that means that if we can grow our economy, grow our businesses using AI, that will put us in a better position to do more social transfers or to address challenges as and when needed. But if you're asking how can households leverage AI to plan their finances better, that too is certainly possible. And, you know, one feature of our budgets, which is enhanced this year, is the Comlink Plus Centres. And they are working with lower-income families to see how those lower-income families can progress. So I wouldn't say that AI is a feature of the Comlink Plus, but the mission of Comlink Plus is to work with low-income families to assist them with not just cash, but help them to see how they can improve. That means, for example, moving from rental flat to a purchase flat, how to get better jobs, how to ensure that their children are able to access better opportunities through the education system.
I guess we want to try and help people level up to a certain extent. And Nathan, this is actually an area where your research focuses on, inequality and poverty. What's your question?
Thank you, Steve. So I wanted to ask, with all these efforts coming in from many, many different angles, how do we ensure that we are actually closing the gap in both jobs and skills that AI is creating? Thank you.
That's something that really preoccupies us, because you don't want to have such a big gap that others are left behind. And on many occasions, we've talked about a Singapore where no one is left behind, a Singapore where everyone can progress irrespective of your starting point. The key to that is education. So we have to make sure at a very early age, children from vulnerable, low-income families have access to opportunities, are able to have good early childhood education, and have access in schools. Well, schools obviously heavily subsidised, everybody knows that, and all Singaporean children get to go to our national schools. But even within the schools, you may need additional remedial lessons, you may need confidence building. And I think also opportunities, because sometimes if, let's say, there's an overseas trip or there are enrichment lessons, they may not be able to access that unless they tap on some of the assistance that's available. But we do put a lot of money into that. And in fact, the Comlink Plus program, which was enhanced in this year's budget, is intended to bring the lower-income vulnerable families further along in that journey. So, yeah, that's an important part of our budget.